Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good songs. That was really interesting. I love the way you connected all those together in some ways I wouldn't have thought of. This morning, I was going to preach about the purpose of marriage, because we're on this series about marriage and family throughout this year. But as I was studying and thinking about what is the purpose of marriage, why should we be married or not be married, or what should we do with our marriages, what's God's design for all of that? I thought, well, really, to understand the purpose of marriage, we've got to take a step back and think about the whole purpose of life. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to talk about the purpose of life, which is, of course, something we do a lot in a lot of different ways in sermons and in Bible study. But I want to do, what if we have a sermon that's just focused on that, just talking about what is the purpose? And not giving just some sort of trite thing we've heard a million times, but really digging in and saying, all right, scripturally, what verses can we put our fingers on and say, that's my purpose. This is why I'm here. This is what I should be doing. So that's what we're going to be looking at. What is the purpose of my life, your life? And I think this is just one of those lessons that's so crucial, because everything else comes from it. I mean, if I don't have this right, then everything else is going to get messed up. Really, every decision I could make is going to come from what I figure out in this field. And all of us come with certain ideas of, yeah, this is what my purpose is here, and this is kind of what I think. But the more we can hone it, the more our life is going to accomplish what it needs to accomplish. Now, one of the tragic things is when we live a life without purpose. And this happens sometimes where we feel like the purpose we had didn't work out so well, and then we're just kind of left with, well, now, what do I do? What? And that's where it leads to discouragement and depression. It's amazing how much we are programmed to need purpose, to need something, some kind of goal. And sometimes we set little short-time goals, but if we can have a big overall arching goal of this is what I want, this is what I need to be doing, it's amazing how much more fulfilling, even just from a psychological standpoint, that is for life. But at the same time, when it comes to God's Word, you find out just how crucial it is that we have an actual purpose. So that's what we're going to do, and then next week we'll really tie it into the family and think through, now, how do we make our family have that purpose and our marriage have that purpose and all of those things. All my kids are out of Cub Scouts. Joy's still in Cub Scouts now, but I used to take the kids on camping trips with Cub Scouts, and we still do a little bit. And one of the things we would do in the Cub Scout camping trips was archery, where the kids would get the bow and arrow and they get to shoot at the target that's a little ways away. And it usually looks something like this. And when the kids are really young, you can imagine what the problem is with this setup. For each kid to know which target they're supposed to be hitting. Now, you're all in a line next to each other. And so most get it, but every so often you have a kid who kind of looks and they start aiming at the one that's their neighbor's target. Which, that doesn't do you any good to hit your neighbor's target. You're supposed to hit yours. And I appreciate Perry reading that scripture reading. In that scripture, we had, there's this guy who has a great life, it sounds like. He's a farmer, and he's very productive, and he's so productive that his barn can't even hold everything that he's harvested. And so he's saying, well, what do I do about this? I mean, this was just such a bumper crop this year. And so what he does is he says, I'm going to tear down this barn, and I'm going to build a bigger barn, and then I'm going to build some other barns until finally I have enough barns that I can fit everything in there. And then I've got it made. Then I'm not going to even have to work anymore. I've got so much. And it felt like this. He achieved it. The dream that so many people have, he won. No more work. The thing I've been working for this whole time, the whole goal that I've had in my life, I did it. And then God says, no, you didn't. You missed it. You completely missed it. And here's the way I visualize this. It's like he's congratulating himself because he finally got the bullseye. And then God comes next to him and is like, this one's your target. That you were so intent on hitting that bullseye, you didn't realize it was the wrong bullseye. And I think that's what happens for a lot of people in life, and can very easily happen to any of us, is that I get so intently focused on there's the purpose, and I might even accomplish that purpose, and then realize that was the wrong purpose. Which is why a lesson like this is so crucial. What's the target? Now, the opposite thing can happen, that sometimes we're so unfocused on a target that we're just kind of, it's everywhere. And my life might look like that, where I don't know, I'm doing this day and that this other day and this and that. I'm just so busy with everything that I don't even know what I'm trying to accomplish. But whatever it is, it's not happening. Now, this can happen if we don't even know what our purpose is. Or it can even happen when there's just a lack of focus. And here's the way I think of this, that I could mean that my worship is kind of focused this way, but then maybe my marriage and like who I choose to marry, or once we're married and the goals we have as in marriage, or how I am as a husband, or how someone is as a wife, or maybe that's kind of going to kind of different purpose. And then you've got maybe the way we raise our children seems to be kind of off this way, just because raising children is hard and it's really easy to get off purpose with that. And then maybe my job, that's kind of when all day at work is kind of like going off in this purpose. And then when I come home and I've got some time to relax and I'm entertaining myself, that seems to be way off in some other field. And then just all my free time and hobbies and vacation, sometimes this is what our lives look like. And if you ask, what is your purpose? Well, this one, this is my purpose, because this is the important one. But wait, your life doesn't look like that's your purpose. And so often I think that is the way it is for Christians, which is why this is such an important topic. All right, so let's start it out this way. Let's talk about biblically, what is the basis for having a purpose? Why should we even have a purpose at all? And all the scriptures are going to be on the board. You can turn to them if you want to, but they'll be up here on the screen as well. But if there was no God, then the basis for purpose would maybe not even exist. You might be able to think of it this way. If we're going to think about the need for a purpose, you might start by asking questions like this. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Those kinds of real basic questions that people like to ask. So if there was no God, the way I might answer some of those questions is, who am I? Well, if there's no God, no soul, no nothing like that, then I might say I'm like some kind of matter, or some kind of thing that evolved here, that's some kind of blob of atoms or cells or whatever. And why am I here? Because I just chance. I mean, we evolved to be here. Where am I going? Well, as far as the end of this life, it would be just kind of going to nothingness, descending back into just matter. So you might, if there was no God, you might have some kind of conclusion like this. And if you did, then what would be the purpose? Well, based on this, there wouldn't really be a purpose. Now, you could pick a purpose. You could say, well, now, while I'm here, my purpose is going to be to do such and such. But it's not that there's some objective purpose that you have to follow. It's just what you come up with. So we could look at it that way. But if we were going to look at it from the Bible standpoint, how would we answer all of this differently? Let's start with Genesis chapter 1. So that's the first scripture. Genesis chapter 1. Here's when God first creates man. And here's what he says. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. All right, so that's our first data point. How would that help us with this question of who am I and why am I here? Well, let us make man. So first of all, I'm made by God. And then I'm made specifically in God's image. So different than the rest of things. I'm made to resemble God, to be a picture of God, to represent God in some way. Not that I am God, and I'm not God, and I'm not also not I'm not identical to God, but in some way I resemble God. I reflect who God is. I'm a picture of him in some way. So we could summarize that with this. So who am I? I'm a representative of God, a picture of God. I symbolize him in some way. When I look at myself or other people look at me or I look at others, I see something about God. That's a big privilege. That sounds like something really big and important. Then who am I? Why am I here? Well, at the very base level, we could say because God created me. Why do I exist at all? Because God decided to create me. Well, all of a sudden, we've got a foundation for purpose that goes much deeper than if there was no God. That now it starts to feel like there could be some kind of purpose to this life. And then we can take this further. So where am I going? Now, Genesis 1 doesn't answer that one. But when you get later on in the Bible, you get verses like this. And here's a real familiar one over in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 9, verse 27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. And then it goes on. But this gives you a little hint here. It says, it's appointed. So this is a plan. This is the design that we're going to die one time. And after we die, then there's actually something after that. There's going to be a judgment. So this is one way we could answer that. There's a lot of other scriptures we could answer that with. But one way we could answer it would be, where am I going? There's going to be some kind of accounting, some kind of judgment that I'm going to give. Now, just with these simple principles, and we only looked at two scriptures, but just with those simple principles, as far as a purpose goes, we could already conclude that there has to be one. Because here I was created by God, I represent him in some way, and he has me give an account for what I've done. So that seems to say that there must be something I should do or shouldn't do and all of that. There must be some purpose that he has for me doing that. Now, that doesn't tell me what the purpose is, but at least says that there's got to be a purpose here. All right, so now let's take that and let's try to answer the question, what is the purpose? And for this one, we're just going to spend the rest of the lesson going through a lot of different scriptures, trying to collect them all together and say, what is the purpose? I want this to be the kind of thing where we can think through each of these scriptures and think through, like, all right, what does that mean for my life? How would that be for my family? How can I focus on that? All of that. Okay, so this target here, we're going to be thinking about, what's that bullseye look like? What's the purpose there? What do I need to aim to? Let's start with a scripture that talks about man's duty. What I went through, the Bible just trying to think through any scripture I could think of that would give a big foundational thing of saying, like, this is why we're here. And so this is one I came across that many of you probably know almost by heart. This is at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. So here it is. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It says, this is the way the Ecclesiastes writer wraps up everything that he's written here. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's a huge statement here. He's saying this is the conclusion, this is the point. And he seems to be saying this is the conclusion, the point of life. He says, here's what we need to do. Fear God and keep his commandments. And then he explains, he says, for this is the whole duty of man. So if you want to think about what's your duty, that sounds a lot like what's your purpose. And he says, if you want to just think of the whole duty, the whole purpose, this guy would sum it up in this way. Fear God and keep his commandments. Now he bases this off of going to the end of the story, kind of like we just did, of where am I going? He bases it off of, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So the conclusion is, all right, if there's going to be a judgment day, then the purpose of life, based on that, would be that I need to follow God and do what he says. And he says, that's it. That's the whole thing. Now, of course, this opens up all sorts of questions. What does it mean to follow God and follow his commandments and everything? I mean, it's really still pretty vague. But at least gives us a starting point. That I could think of, what is my life, what should be the direction of my life? Well, it needs to be about my relationship to God, my honoring of him, which seems to be the concept of this fearing God, this reverence, deep, very deep reverence for God in everything that I do, and then following all the things that he said. All right, so that would be the first one. If we're thinking of what is this target, well, the first one we could say is to fear God and keep his commandments. Okay, but that's just one scripture. I want to just keep collecting them. So what else can we put into this? What about, here's a scripture in the New Testament. And the reason I picked this one is it seems like Paul here is saying, this is the purpose of why we were saved. Now, to me, that seems like a purpose kind of statement. Here's why you were saved. Well, that seems like, okay, then this is purpose of life. So this one's from Ephesians chapter 2. And in this chapter, Paul goes through and talks about how we were saved, about Jesus' sacrifice for us, and what that process looked like, of how we were dead, and he made us alive, and all of that. And then he says here in Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So grace means it's a gift. God gave us salvation. He loved us so much that he wanted to do this for us. And then he says, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So he's saying, God did this for you. You can't brag about it. It was God who did it for you. And then he says, for we are his workmanship. So he created us. That takes us back to Genesis chapter 1 again. You see how it's so connected. In this one, well, the Ecclesiastes one based our purpose off of the end of the story of there's a judgment day. This here, Paul bases our purpose off of the beginning of the story. God created us and Christ saved us. So for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This phrase right here, why was I created in Christ Jesus? Created, so this seems to be not just my initial being created, but recreated in Christ. So as I become a Christian, as I follow him, created in Christ Jesus, why? For good works. Created for the purpose of doing good works. And then he says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So basically, this was God's plan. God prepared for us to do these good works, which really seems to go to this whole purpose thing. God designed it so that I would do these good works. So here's how we can summarize this one. We're just using the phrase from the verse, do good works. What is my purpose in life? To do good works. So we've got two so far that help us focus in on what do I need to be doing here in this life. One of the things we could say is good works. All right, let's move on to the next one. Another way we could think of what's my purpose here would be thinking about what's the point of all of God's commandments. We already saw that fearing God and keeping his commandments is my purpose, but how do we summarize that? What does that look like to keep his commandments? And this one takes us to some words of Jesus. Here we are in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So here he says, what's the most important? If of all the different things God told us to do, what's number one most important? And Jesus says, actually, there's an answer to that. The answer is, love God. But there's also a second answer, which is, love other people. Now, I think this is a purpose kind of statement. Because whatever is the greatest commandment, the thing that's most important to do, that sounds like purpose. This is what I need to be doing. So, we could also put this on our chart of, my purpose is to love God and love others. Again, once you start seeing these, then you can start thinking through your life of, now, is my life focused in these particular directions? Now, let's take this even further. Another passage would be, this one's Paul. Paul talks about our aim in life. And I feel like aim sounds like purpose. So, here's the way Paul does in this one. This one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in this, Paul's starting with the end of the story. So sometimes the purpose statements come from looking at God creating us. Sometimes it goes from looking at what happens after death. Usually it's one or the other. In this one, he's talking about, okay, so life is short. Eventually we're going to die. What's going to happen after that? And he actually talks about his eagerness to be with the Lord. And here he talks about in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, he says, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So he says, we live our lives courageously here because we're looking forward to that day when we can be with God. And he says, you know, it's the kind of thing where we'd rather, it'd actually be our preference to be with God. But then he takes it this way. He says, so, here's his conclusion based off that. So, whether we are at home or away, so whether we're still alive here on this earth or whether we're dead and we're with Christ, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. So he says, that's our goal. Because we're looking forward to being with him, that's our goal. But then the next sentence starts with four, which is, here's the reason for why I just said that. And this is very similar to some of the other passages we've seen, especially the one in Ecclesiastes. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Notice how this section is so similar to Ecclesiastes. Fear God, keep his commandments. I mean, he's even got the fear there. He talks about how there's going to be a judgment day. And he says, that's why we make it our aim to please him. So, if we're going to focus again on what is the goal, what is the purpose, Paul would say his purpose is to please God. I like the phrase please. I think fearing God and keeping his commandments is good, but please gives it a different aspect. It's not just a, well, now, what was that one and that one and that commandment and that commandment and that commandment. Instead, it's, God, what do you want me to do? How can I make you happy, God? What would make you just really proud and happy right now? And Paul's saying, that's my purpose. I want to make God happy. All right, another one is in that same chapter, actually that same text that we just read. Notice the very next verse. So he says, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. And notice we just tacked on to that. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, so fear of the Lord, just like we had, how it's fear God, keep his commandments, he's going to bring everything to judgment, all of that. Then he says, we persuade others. So Paul's saying, not only do I try to please him, but I try to get other people to want to please him too, because I realize what this life is all about. So we could add to our chart, persuading other people, trying to help them to want to follow Christ as well. All right, the next one is still from the 2 Corinthians passage. There's a lot in that one. And this one, Paul comes out and says, hey, this is what I live for. This is what my life is all about. Which, if you say, this is what I live for, that sounds a lot like, this is my purpose. So, this one's just a few verses further down the chapter. But then he says, this is verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. It's a very confusing sentence. I think I actually preached a whole sermon just about these verses here, maybe 6 months or so ago. But here in this section, he's saying Christ died for us. And then he's saying what that death did for him, how it changed him, how it opened his heart. And he says, so that here's what it does, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves. So seeing Jesus dying for someone else, not just any someone, for us, seeing Jesus dying for us changes us to not live for us anymore, but to live for him who died for us. So that we might not live for ourselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So it changes the focus. Instead of me living for me, I live for Jesus because I saw that Jesus didn't live for Jesus, Jesus lived for me. It makes a lot of sense. And you can see how this is exactly what the rich fool guy, the guy that built the bigger barns, what he should have figured out. he needed to understand that it wasn't about him living for himself. It was him living for someone who didn't live for themselves, for Jesus. All right, so we could state this one as living for Christ, not for self, would be another purpose of life. All right, so we looked at a bunch of different things. Now I want to tie it all together by looking at it from a different angle. These are all different passages of people should do this. People's purpose should be this. What if we turned it around and said, what about Jesus? What was Jesus' purpose? Because if we can think about what Jesus' purposes were, then that, if we're supposed to follow Jesus' example, then that would probably help us answer the question again. So let's see, what was Jesus' purpose? And it's neat, Jesus actually did several times just come out and say, here's my purpose. So one of them would be Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Why did he come? Why am I here? I mean, it goes back to this, where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? All of that. Jesus says, I came to seek and to save the lost. So that was Jesus' purpose, and it really connects with what Paul said about persuading others. So we could say, saving others. That's a purpose. That was Jesus' purpose. It seems like it needs to be our purpose as well. Another one that Jesus said was Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He says, why did I come? I didn't come for other people to serve me. I came to serve other people. And he says, and to even give his life for other people. And then in the context here, he's talking to his disciples who want to make themselves great and get other people to see them. And he's like, no, you're missing it. That's not the purpose. The purpose is not that people serve you, but you serve others. Okay? So we'll connect that in there. Serving others is another purpose. Finally, last one here. Jesus says, this is Jesus at the end of his life, when he's accomplishing his mission here in John 17. This is right before he goes to the cross. And he says in a prayer to God, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. I feel like that sums up so much of this. God, I did what you wanted me to do, and I know that that brought glory to you. I feel like this combines the fear God and keep his commandments and the please God into one thing. That I pleased you, I glorified you by doing what you told me to do. So we could put on our list here, glorifying God by doing his work. All right. We could probably collect more passages and put it together here, but I think this is enough to really give us a good picture of what our purpose needs to be. And I wanted just to run through each of those in detail because we need this kind of focus. And once you see all those, you can see how they're each kind of coming at it from a slightly different angle, but there's a lot of overlap, and you can kind of see how they're all describing the same life. A life that is about God, a life that's not about myself, a life that's very aware of what's to come and thinking through, what would God think about this? How can I do it in a way that pleases him? A life that comes back to love a lot. You've got this loving God and loving others. It's very much a life about this relationship here. A life that is about helping others to have that life too. Serving others, helping them, and glorifying God. All right, so putting that all together, why I really want to share this is so that the purpose becomes so clear to us that we can start looking at each part of our lives and we can start thinking, does this part of my life align with that purpose? Does this part over here align with that purpose? And really thinking, how do I instill this purpose in my children? How do we make this the purpose of our family? How do we see this is the direction we're all going. This is where what we're moving towards. Where it's not that, you know, this is what I need to be doing more, but we've got the job over here and the activities for the kids over there, and then we've got this health challenge over here, and then this thing going on over there. No, we say, all right, everything is about this. And everything we're doing we're going to make it about this. That the reason I'm doing this is because of these things right here. The reason we're making this choice as a family, the reason we're deciding to do this on this Saturday and this on the Friday night, and the reason we did this on Sunday, and on, all the different things we do and we think about and we read about and we talk about, they're all going to revolve around this because we're so laser focused on that target, that goal. That's what it's all about. And so, for each of us, let's think about, how do I make everything, whether it be my marriage or my job or my entertainment or anything that I do, how do I make it focused on the right target? The more I can see what that target is, visualize that in my mind, the more I can make all of my decisions towards that. And I think when we do that, it's going to be a fulfilling life. There's a lot of challenges. It may create a lot of stress and difficulties, but it'll also be so rewarding and fulfilling that I've got a goal and I'm working towards that goal. Let's do that. If you don't have a goal today, if you're not following Christ and you haven't made Him your goal, you haven't made following Him the purpose of your life, then we want to help you in that. If we can help you in any way, if you want to become a follower of Christ today, then you can repent of your sins and you can put your faith in Him, confessing His name and being baptized to have all of your sins forgiven. If you want to do that this morning, or if there's some other way that we can help you, we'd be happy to. Please come forward. All together we stand and sing.